Good morning to everyone. My name is Rian Joubert, soos wat G gesê het. Ek is som op Charles Elderspan hier, so een van die elders in die gemeente, en dis my wonderlike voorreg. Charles het vanoggend vir my gevra om die woord te deel vanoggend, en aanvanklik het hy gesê dat ek die boodskap moet deel wat ek laasweek in Bredasdorp gedeel het. Maar ek is die laaste tyd is ek so bietjie besig om op die lewe van Jakob te mediteer. En soos wat ek net tyd met die notas gespandeer het en net in die woord was, het ek net al hoe meer gevoel dat dis wat die Here vanoggend wil sê. So ek vertrou die Here vanoggend, en ja, mag hy die eer kry, mag hy die een wees wat die verandering bring. Dus ek, ons elders, we cannot change people. God changes people. I can bring the words, I can try and be faithful, but God transforms the hearts. He turns hearts of stone into soft hearts. So, Heilige Gees, ons vertrou u daarvoor vanoggend. So ek is in die Transvaal gebore, die Hoofveld. Jylle kan my maar jammer kry. So as jy daar gekom het, of as jy self van daar afkom, dis plat, is baie plat. Hulle maak die grapje om te sê dat die verlore seun sou nie kon wegloop nie, want sy pa sou hom 10 dae later nog steeds kon sien. Dis plat en grasvelde. So daar's nie berge nie, dis net gras, en dan gewoonlik in die winter dan brand daai grasse. En ek het die voorreg, my vrou is vanoggend by kinderkerk, maar sy kom van Namibia af. En as jy van Suid-Afrika af na Windhoek toe ry, dan Windhoek is verskriklik koppies. Baie mooi, laat my baie dink aan Pretoria, waar ek geswat het, maar dit is verskrik koppierig en baie mooi. Maar dit is ook nie berge nie. En dit was vir my, toe ek afgetrek het Kaap toe, was daar vir my iets daar ongelooflik aan die berge. Vir iemand wat gekom het van als plat is, the mountains were something beautiful. En daar is iets speciaals aan berge in die Bybel, nie? As jy denk oor Jesus wat op die berg gaan, bergpredikasie, of Moses wat opgaan op die berg, om die wet te gaan kry by die Here. Daar is net iets speciaals aan berge. Maar ook is daar, there's something ominous. Daar is iets wat nogal skrikwekkend is aan berge. En ons het in Afrikaans selfs die gesegde om te sê, dit lê soos 'n berg voor my. Bedoelende, dit is nogal iets heavy wat voor my lê. En as jy nou kyk na Swellendamse berg, dan is dit ook nie so erg nie. Ek weet nie hoe hoog 12 uur kop specifiek is nie, van julle sal daar kan sê. Maar as jy voor iets staan, soos Mount Everest, is dit dier van ander klere. 8849 meter is Mount Everest, hoogste piek in die wereld. En dis ook nie, is nie iets wat jy soos 12 uur kop gou 8 uur die oggend besluit, ek gaan Mount Everest klim. Dis beplanning en daar skill. There's something involved. You need to know what you do when you try and attempt to get to Mount Everest. En die ding is, dis een baie mooi symbool van uitdagings in ons leven. Ons kom in ons leven, kom ons baie keer te staan voor Mount Everest. Ons het tye waar het goed gaan, soos die Hoofveld. Ons het tye waar het bietjie besig is, soos die koppies in Windhoek. Maar elkeen van ons, glo ek, kom voor die Mount Everest te staan, wat jy voor hierdie massive ding staan, en jy weet, ek weet nie hoe ek oor hierdie ding gaan kom nie. En moeilike tye en uitdagende tye is daar vir 'n rede, en dis nie waar vir oggend se preek gaan nie, maar ek dink dis goed om daar, om dit net te noem. Weet Paulus, Petrus praat in 1 Petrus 1 vers 6 tot 7 praat hy oor die trials wat die kerk beleef het, en dan sê hy vir die kerk, it's for the testing of your faith. Okay? So, dit wat jy glo, glo jy dit regtig. And they tell the story of the two men that stood on top of two buildings with a piece of rope between the two buildings, with a wheelbarrow. And the one says to the other one, do you believe I can get this wheelbarrow to the other side and back on this piece of rope? And the other guy says, you are going to fall to your death. Definitely. And the guy takes up the wheelbarrow, walks on the rope to the other side, walks back. And the guy's amazed. He's like, that is incredible. Do you believe me now? I say, of course I believe you. Just saw you walking on the tightrope. He said, now get in. En dis is dit nie baie keer wat die Here met ons doen nie. Here, ons glo U, ons vertrou U. Ons weet dat U beplan nie slegte goed vir ons nie, beplan goed vir ons. En dan sê Here soos, okay, get in. Maar dan is daar ook, en weet dat moeilike tye, it shapes us. Difficult times shapes us. En in 2 Korintiërs 1 vers 8 tot 9, Paul speaks about that they were so disheartened that they even despaired of life itself. And then he says these words, those things happened so that we would not rely on ourselves. You know, so difficult times in your life, yes, it's testing, but it's also to shape you. And God is a beautiful creator, and He's got a plan for your life. And He's orchestrating events. He's allowing things to happen in your life. Because like a Michelangelo or a Da Vinci, that shapes and crafts things that they make, He's shaping and He's crafting your life. And He's trying to make you look more and more like His Son, Jesus. And so that is why these hard things, that's what often why the Everests happen in our life. So I want to look this morning, I want to look at one specific character who was facing an Everest in his life. And that is the character van Jacob. So, die story begin dat ons ken allemaal dat Isaac is the son of promise. En hy sy pa stuur iemand en hy gaan kry 'n vrou vir hom. En Rebekka sukkel om swanger te word. En Jakob, Isaac bid vir haar en sy word swanger. En uit die skrif blyk dit dat dit 'n moeilike swangerskap is. En baie wys gaan Rebekka na die Here toe en sy vra vir die Here wat gaan aan. So ek gaan vanuit die ESV lees, hier het my Bybel, julle kan daar bo volg. Ek lees vanaf Genesis 25 vanaf vers 23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall divide. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 6 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. En is interessant, jy weet, ons sê dat Isaac is this child of promise, maar Jacob is ook met 'n belofte gebore. Die Here het hierdie belofte uit hom gespreek dat ek het 'n roeping vir hierdie jonger boetie. There's a calling on his life. And just like each one of you has got a purpose, God has got a calling for you. He's got a specific purpose, and daai specific purpose is nie om 'n rekenmeester te wees nie. Die Here help vir julle. Maar daai purpose is om meer te wees as dit. And he's born with that. The older shall serve the younger. Daar is iets van 'n autoriteit wat die skrif praat, maar daar is ook iets van 'n struweling wat die skrif uitbeeld. En weet, dis baie keer die challenge van die beloftes van die Here, nê? Here, my eet belowe. Eet belowe. En die belofte het nie uitgewerk soos wat ek gedink het nie. The promises of God are often difficult and something we have to wrestle with. En selfs as jy die belofte van die Here glo, dan is die Here baie keer so bietjie stadiger as wat ek en jy graag wil hê. En dat ons baie keer die Here so bietjie wil aanhelp. En dit is iets wat ons baie goed weet in die lewe van Abraham, wat toevallig Jakob se oupa is, dat hy sy eie planne gemaak het, toe die Here nie opgedaag het nie, of hy gedink het die Here nie opdaag nie. En Jakob het so 'n bietjie van dit, vers 29, Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, Let me eat some of the red stew, for I am exhausted. Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, Sell me your birthright now. Esau said, I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? Jacob said, Swear to me now. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Jy weet, as jy na Jakob se naam kyk, dis in die Hebreeus is dit 'n woordspeling op om iemand se hak te gryp. Dis hoekom hy Jakob genoem is, want he was born grabbing Esau's heel. So dis 'n woordspeling, daai woord Jakob kom van 'n woordspeling daarop. Maar daar's 'n tweede betekenis daaraan, wat beteken, he cheats, deceiver. En ons weet dit ook spesifiek, het word bevestig in die skrif, want toe hy vir Esau verneek het, by sy pa, toe sê Esau, Is he not rightly called Jacob? He's a deceiver. There's something deceiving in his life. En daar's hierdie belofte oor sy lewe, dat daar's governance op sy lewe. Daar iets die Here wil, die belofte wat van Abraham en Isaac kom, wil die Here in hierdie jong man se lewe inbou. Maar hy het nie die geduld om te wag op die Here nie. En so hy is opportunisties. He uses opportunity in a deceiving way, making use of his brother when he is weak, when his brother is unwise, and he takes his birthright from him. And even though scripture is quite clearly that Esau despised his birthright, Jacob is cunning. die smaak. Hy maak sy eie planne. En soos wat ons deur gaan sy hulle sien, daar's besig om 'n prentjie te vorm van Jakob en wie hy is. And so the things of when we have a crack in our life, if we don't tend to that crack, as jy daai ding nie immediately vasvang en onder die autoriteit van die Here inbring nie, dan begin daai ding baie skeef trek. En ons sien dit in Jakob se lewe dat dit baie tragies skeef trek. Ons weet dat hy en sy ma beplan saam. Hulle sien dat die blessing wat Isak gaan gee, gaan hulle vir die ouer broer gee. En weer eens, hulle vertroue is nie op die Here nie. Hulle het nie om te sê, hierdie is wat die Here beloof het nie. Ek gaan nie wag op die Here, ek gaan nie staan op sy woord nie. Ons gaan ons eie plan maak. En so ken ons die story baie goed, how Jacob is dressed like Esau, and it's almost very traumatic reading it. Isaac in this weakened state, cannot see very well, his hearing is probably not that good. And so in Genesis 27, 18, we read the following, so he went into his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. Hy wil die blessing hê, maar he's done it in cunning ways. En jy weet, dis die ding van as ons voor ons Everest te staan kom, dan is dit gewoonlik so dat het nie net eendag tevoorskyn kom nie. Dis baie keer dat daar klomp goedjies is wat gebeur en dinge wat nie in plek val nie of dinge wat met my gebeur. En vir Jakob is dit hierdie starige wegeet van hom. Hierdie ding wat met sy naam saamgekom het, hierdie heat-cheats, hierdie ding wat, hierdie kraak in hom, wat hy nie raak sien nie. En wat ons begin sien, is dat daar is iets very deeply broken in Jacob's life. En die gevolge van dit is dat hy moet sy ouerhuis verlaat. Hy moet weggaan, hy moet vlug vir sy lewe basies. En net so kan ons sê dat in ons eie lewe is daar baie keer Everests voor ons wat eintlik ons eie skuld is, nê? Eie swak besluite wat ons maak, dinge wat ons doen wat ons dom is, goeders wat ons doen, wat ons nie klank met ons leiers of met mense rondom ons om in wysheid op te tree nie. En so Jakob se lewe is, kan mens amper sê, besig om uit mekaar te val. En dis baie keer hoe dit voel as jy voor die Everest te staan kom nie. Voel asof it's falling apart. Voel asof ek gaan alles verloor. Voel asof, how am I ever, ever gonna get through this? En soos het baie keer ongelukkig is, is net as jy denk, oh man, dit kan nie erger word nie, dan word het erger. Surprise, surprise. In this baya, it's very ironic. Because the one who cheats is cheated. Ons lees daarvan in Genesis 29, Jakob vlug na Laban toe. En dit is 'n skrikwekkende story om met 'n vreemde vrou wakker te word. Ek weet regtig nie hoe hierdie man nie aan 'n hartaanval oorlede is nie, maar Genesis 29 vers 25, and in the morning behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, hoor nou hierdie, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? Dit is eintlik lagwekkend hoe blind Jakob is vir sy eie kraak. Hy wat sy pa verneek het, wat sy pa deceive het, gaan na Laban toe en sê, hoe kan jy so iets doen? Hoe kan jy my deceive terwyl sy hande ook in die cookie jar is? En dis die ander ding, nee, ons is baie keer blind vir ons eie krake. En dis hoekom ons in hierdie kerk praat van accountability. That's why we need open lives, because we've got blind spots. And by definition, a blind spot means you can't see it. And he can't see it. But he's deceived. Jacob, who deceived other people, is being deceived. And dan weer eens, dit word net erger, want Laban word geseën as gevolg van die feit dat Jakob onder sy dak is. En Jakob wil gaan, maar Laban besef, as hy Jakob laat gaan, dan gaan iets van die blessing gaan. En so het hulle hierdie stelsel uitgewerk waar volgens Jakob van die skape en bokke kan kry. En weer eens, Genesis 30, vers 35. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. So as jy nie mooi verstaan wat hier gebeur het nie, is dat Laban sê vir hom, hoor hierso, skape wat so is, gaan joune wees. En die res is myne. Nou, die ding van dit is, en ek gaan nou nie die mic vir Jaco gee nie, maar as jy met diere te doen het, die DNA vloei deur. So, as daar spotted diere is, en hulle lam, dan is daar kans dat daar 'n hele paar spotted gaan wees. Dis hoe DNA werk. Dit is hoekom ek lyk soos my pa, en jy lyk soos jou pa of ma. Wat doen Laban? Laban het ook 'n kraak. Hy gaan al elke liewe een uit. En dit sê, he takes them 3 days' journey. Met ander woorde, theoretically, Jacob has almost got zero chance of getting properly paid. Maar daar is ongelooflike getrouheid wat die Here het, en ons weet hoe die Here op 'n bonatuurlike manier vir Jakob voorsien, en Jakob word geseën. But this is a life that began with a promise of God. This is a life that began with things that God had spoken over this young man's life. And where he is now, he's got a broken relationship with his father. He's got a broken relationship with his brother. His parents' own marriage is in conflict. He's got a wife that he does not love. He's got another wife that struggles to get pregnant. And he's got an employer that is constantly deceiving him, constantly cheating him. And he's got a big crack. And that is a difficult place to be. And you know, I don't think that God calls us to suffering just for the sake of. But he calls us to suffering because each one of us is called to brokenness. We're called to be broken before him. Because he wants to shape and form each one of us into something that he desires, that he has built up. Not because you and I are perfect vessels that brings ourselves to him and say, look, God, look how impressive I am. God calls us to brokenness because he wants to be the builder. He wants to be the one that heals us. He wants to be the one that fills us, renews us, restores us. But the great thing about Jacob's story is that his story is not done. And we all know, and this is one of those incredible stories in Scripture, Genesis 32, verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Yabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that it is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Now, baie van ons van julle wat hierso sit, sal sê vir jy wat voor Everest staan, sal dalk vanoggend sê, Rian is baie convenient, sit my in 'n kamer saam met die Here en dan gaan naast toe geveg wees. Because it seems very easy just to wrestle with God and everything is changed. But there's a couple of things that Jacob does that we need to take note of. Even as we face our Everests, even as we come to a place where we stand before this mountain and we have no clue of how we are going to get through this. Jacob faces his sins and his wrongs. Hy pak sy goed op en hy gaan terug na Esau toe. Gaan terug na sy pa toe wat hy seer gemaak het. He doesn't hide. He faces it. It's not like when he was young and he cheated his brother that he ran away. But he's now a man that has been through suffering. He's a man that has been through things. And he can no longer be that man. But part of that healing is that he needs to face the things that he had done wrong. And that is part of you and my healing. And whether that is people or whether it is God himself, we need to face up to the things and the people we've wronged. We need to face up to the situations where we have transgressed and ultimately have sinned against God, saying, Lord, I have done wrong. That is part of a healing. This is part of Jacob's healing, is that he faces up to the things he had done wrong. The second thing he does, and this is so beautiful, Jacob faces who he is. You see, when he was standing in front of his father with those clothes and the things, and his father asked him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am Esau." And so as he wrestles with God, God asks him, "What is your name?" What God in effect is asking him is, "Jacob, who are you? Who are you, Jacob?" Because Jacob needs to face who he is. "Lord, I'm a cheat. I'm a deceiver. My name is Jacob. It means deceiver. That is who I am. That is my crack." And if you want healing in your life, if you want to cross that Everest mountain, it means that you need to face who you are, that crack in your life, who that is. Otherwise, you are not going to get your healing. And that is the profound thing of that moment of Jacob wrestling with God. Who are you, Jacob? And he cannot cheat God like he did his father. "I am Jacob. I am a cheat. I'm a betrayer." And so he wrestles with God. He's not cheating. He's wrestling. And where he cheated his father, his whole life has been cheating to get that blessing. Wat Jakob nou doen is sê, "Here, ek gaan aan u vashou totdat u my seën." Hy het vir sy pa gevra, "Seën my," maar het was op valse voorgronde. Nou staan hy voor die Here en hy hou vas in die Here en hy sê, "Here, ek gaan u nie los totdat u my seën nie." You see, it's not about the moment. It's because Jacob has come to the end of himself. And he knows that his cheating ways has only bringing him heartache and pain and suffering. En die laaste ding wat in hierdie oomblik is dat Jakob vind God se getrouheid en sy faithfulness. En ek het hierdie nie raak gesien totdat die Here met my begin journey het deur hierdie skrif nie, maar dit is regtig so mooi. Genesis 28 vers 15, Jakob vlug soos wat ons vroeër van gepraat het en hy is in die veld en hy slaap met op sy kop op 'n klip soos almal weet en hy het hierdie ongelooflike droom van die engele wat op en af gaan met die leer. En dan in Genesis 28 vers 15 sê hierdie, "Behold," sê die Here praat met hom en sê, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Jakob, jy hardloop nou weg. Maar ek maak die belofte aan jou. Ek gaan jou terugbring hiernatoe. Ek gaan jou terugbring na die land van jou pa. Ek gaan jou terugbring na die land waar jou boetie is. Ek gaan jou terugbring hiernatoe. En ek gaan jou nie los totdat daai belofte vervul is nie. And so God is faithful. And that is what Jacob finds. That promise that God made years ago said, I will bring you back. I will not leave you. God did bring him back. God did not abandon Jacob. And that is the promise to you and I this morning as well. Is that as you stand in front of your Mount Everest, and it may feel like God has abandoned you, God is faithful. And this is what the scripture says to us. He is faithful in our lives. He was faithful. Yes, Jacob made a number of wrong choices. Hy het baie goed wat hy anders kon gedoen het. Maar God is getrou ten spyte daarvan. En dan die ongelooflike uitvloei van hierdie wrestle met God is dat hy word op sy hipsocket geslaan. Jep, been neem ek aan. En wat dit net sê is dat hy is nou effektiewelik op pad na sy boetie toe met 'n klomp manne wat op weermag is op pad na hom toe. Hy moet eintlik in sy beste posisie wees om te kan beklei. But he's weak. What God is saying is, Jakob, van nou af, tot in die einde, gaan jy op my vertrou. En nie net op my vertrou nie, I'm going to remind you of it. You're going to walk with a limp. En daar is al baie preke oor dit gewees, wat deur die vraag is, are you walking with a limp? Have you been at that place where you are reminded of God's faithfulness? Where you've wrestled with God and you bear the scars? En die ongelooflike ding is goddelike autoriteit. God verander sy identiteit. You will no longer be called deceiver, but Israel. En daar is plek wat ek en jy moet soek. Of het in jou binnenkamer is, of het gebedstijd is saam met jou community leier, jou, die elders. Dat jy jou identiteit, who you are in Christ Jesus, that you will find that place. And that is my prayer this morning for each one of you, us. That we will find our identity planted on the foundation of Christ. And you know what? As I land and end this, God did the same that he did for Jacob, he did for you and me. You and I are part of Abraham's family. We are part of that blessing that God had spoken over them. Yes, we came via a different route. Yes, there's something different on Israel. But we are part of that family. Galatians 3, verse 7. Know then that it is to those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Die woord het vanoggend twee keer uitgekom, nee? Geloof, faith. Meaning, if you live your life by faith, dan is jy nie 'n seun van Marius Joubert nie. You are a son of Abraham. And God changes him. God changes Jacob. And he's promised that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 talks about a new creation. I'm not going to read the scripture. But that God transforms us. He renews us. Yes, when we bow our lives to Him and acknowledge that He is our Savior, but He is constantly renewing us, constantly making us new, constantly making us more and more like His Son, Jesus. And then Revelation 2:17, He will give us a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives. One day, when you are with the Lord, when you stand and you enter your rest, God will say, do you know what I always called you? Ramon, you know why we have all this? All the blessings and the goodness and His kindness. We have it because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus lost His wrestle. There was no way out for Him. So you may wrestle this morning with the Lord on a couple of things. And it may feel to you, how am I ever gonna get over this Everest? I want to tell you, Christ couldn't cross that Everest, but He took it on Himself so that you and I could have victory. And so I feel this morning, as we are together as a family, just for everyone to close our eyes. You know who you are. You know where you are. You know, you and I, we cannot cheat God. And I feel this morning is really, it's a personal morning. God is working with you. So if this morning you are standing in front of an Everest and you want to find faith, to find His faithfulness, to trust in His goodness, won't you stand with me? Won't you just stretch out your hands, whatever way you feel. Lord, You know each heart standing before You now. And You said in Scripture that You remember that we are, Lord, clay formed and put together, Lord, but we are so fragile and so weak. And so often we tend, Lord, to choose the wrong things that lead us down paths that lead us to Everests. So vir elke persoon wat ver oggend staan, Here. vir elke persoon wat vir oggend iets na U toe bring. Vir elke persoon wat vir oggend sê, I don't know how I will make tomorrow. Lord, that the sun of righteousness will shine on them. That they will see Your goodness. And that they will see the cross that casts a shadow over that mountain, knowing that the price has been paid. Do Your healing, Lord. And as we spoke this morning of faith, Lord, stir up our faith, Lord, the trust in You, that though the mountain will still be there tomorrow, that You are faithful and good, and that You will be faithful to the promises and to the work that You have done in our lives.